First committee report, capital plan review, that is my committee. We met on September 9th. We had an update from Morel Lamaro on the Human Services Annex, and he is working with the Department of Community Justice as well as our Probation Department and the Community Justice folks, as well as COFA on designing the annex. We had an interim report from Holt Architects on their center of government. The committee got to, they actually came to ask for direction. They didn't have a final report. They really wanted to know what else we were looking for. So we had a lot of feedback, and they're going to go away and come back again. So I hope we have a full report October 13th, which is our next meeting. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Government Operations, Mike is not here. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Pam McAsee, Chair.
Yes, we met on the 7th of September. And as usual, we had a very lively meeting with lots of discussion. One of the things that we had was Martha Armstrong from TCAD came and talked about the economic development strategy that they are working on, talking to different groups about the different strategies that people are interested in seeing us use. And as part of that, she offered each of us the opportunity to describe what we thought would be the best direction or in terms of the areas that we should be focusing on in terms of economic development strategies. And Frank Proto said he thought that he'd like to see enhanced healthcare opportunities. Carol Chalk would like to see to be sure to include all potential audiences and population stakeholders while seeking input, not just the current and obvious stakeholders. Pat Pryor said she would like to focus on the themes of sustainability. Will Burbank would like to include visions of a sustainable, equitable, and respectful of nature and built environments kind of focuses. I would like to work with Cornell University to help make the transfer from research to business for their ideas locally. And Julie Kiefer would like to see work that helps to determine how to survive climate change. So it was an interesting discussion. And she is she's talking to a lot of other groups. She's going to bring it back what she has put together. We had a report from Fred Bond, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, he told us that there's a Fairfield Hotel project that was approved by the City of Ithaca Planning Board down on Route 13 next to Manos Diner will take place. It's a 106-room motel. The tourism has increased again. I mean, we seem to be on the upswing in that regard. And the only other thing I wanted to say was that Ed Marks, in his report, talked about this part of the governor's economic development. They have a regional development council on agricultural, on the agricultural group, which he is part of. And they have actually come up with some solid recommendations that they are going to take to the statewide committee, which was very exciting to hear. And that's basically it. It was a good meeting. And our next meeting is the 5th of October. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Any questions? Thank you, Mike Lane, Government Operations Committee.
Yes, in addition to discussing the smoking policy, which took quite a big chunk of our meeting, we also talked about a couple of other policies, which one had to do with some minor changes, reducing some reporting, and also a change to our disciplinary action policy to simplify that. We heard from the director of the History Center, who hadn't been able to come to our program review sessions, which we've held before, and he talked about the current status of the History Center and their activities over there. That will be discussed more in our budget sessions, no doubt, but we are on a contract basis for 5 years with that agency, and so there isn't a lot of wiggle room in that one. The assessment, there'll be some assessment normal resolutions coming at our next meeting, but you might be interested that the grand total of our assessment roll this year is about $10.5 billion, of which only about $6 billion of that is taxable. We know that we're hit with a lot of non-taxable properties in Tompkins County, and the taxable ones must support it for everybody. Our minutes discussion got off to a slow start, and we'll be putting that over one more meeting.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions?
I have resolution A from the GO, from the consent agenda.
That's right. We didn't do that one yet. Sorry. Go ahead. You have resolution
Mike,
A.
It was just a question of trying to understand why this was necessary, given our budget constraint. Maybe John knows the answer.
Moving the increase in hours of the recording clerk position, county clerk, and I so moved that.
All right, there'll be seconds. So the question is.
Yeah. This was a budgeting move to try to save some money in the county clerk's office that was recommended by Aurora Valenti, our county clerk, and also our county administrator, Joe Mariana. Basically, there are two unfilled positions, and they were trying to come up with a way to get by with even with only a partial filling of those positions. So one of them is going to go away, and the other one is going to be serviced by increasing a position from 35 to 40 hours a week. Aurora, I might say, when she spoke, she says she wants to try it. She's not positive. She might that she can do it with that reduction, but she's has the spirit of the need to have a conservative budget this year, and I think she's being a trooper about it.
Okay, so it wasn't clear to me that the other position was going away from this resolution. So you're saying that's what's happening, and one is being bumped up to 40 hours.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Leslie. Anything else? Ready to vote? All in favor of resolution A, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. All set, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. We have the community budget forum that Joe mentioned on the 26th at the library at 7 p.m. We have an EBC meeting on the 27th. We've had three EBC meetings in September, and we have five scheduled in October, presentation and voting meetings. And we have not met with the committee 15 minutes. There are no scheduled regular budget meetings during September and October, and we meet on an as-needed basis. And that concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Any questions? Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
We have not met since the last legislature meeting. I have no additional report. We meet again on October the 3rd at 3:30.
All right. Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie Dean Claiborne, Chair.
Thank you very much. WDIC will meet next Wednesday. We'll continue our work on our diversity plan, looking at also some of our goals around civil service. Now that we have the new online application system, there's some work that we can do towards getting people more prep and accessibility to practice exams, et cetera. So we'll be talking about that. But a few other things I wanted to talk about that are diversity and workforce related. Martha, thank you for mentioning the enactment of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I wanted to share a couple of quick words. I said, according to one of my favorite comedians, Wanda Sykes, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a hot mess. It really was. It took effect today as of midnight. And in reading lots of the, you know, stories, blogs, whatever it is out there, I see the continued use of the words sexual preference. And I know from our workforce diversity and for those who have sat on it, people often say, people in our LGBT community often say that this is not a preference. This is our life. This is who we are. It's not a preference. And so just to be another education moment, to be mindful to all of us, to be careful and in what we say. Peter brought up something very interesting earlier tonight just about what a long way we've come. We have come a long way, Peter. But when one hears of the story and reads about the story of Troy Davis and what's going on with him, you really do have to question, have we really come a long way? There's so much more that's happening in more clandestine ways than they happened back in the days, but it continues to happen. There's still people in this county who are encountering, and I just had this conversation today before I got here, who are encountering issues of folks not renting to them. You know, it's available, you show up, and all of a sudden it just got rented, or the water main broke and we have to fix it, and any number of other excuses. So those things are still happening, in as much as we would want to believe that we've moved so much further ahead. I just wanted to share those things and share that we will continue our work on WDIC to bring light to many of those things that are happening. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Any questions? Pat.
I just wanted to thank you, Leslie, for mentioning the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And you've probably seen, as I have, that it's been in the news. One of the interesting things that I've seen is how many of our former service members who were kicked out of service under that policy now would like to re-up.
Exactly.
Even despite the discrimination, despite that experience that they had, they still have that desire to serve their country.
Just want to serve.
I think it's pretty amazing.
Just want to serve and protect us.
Thank you very much, Pat and Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Health Committee met on the 14th. We had an opportunity to meet with Dale Johnson, who's the Executive Director of HospiCare. He gave us quite a rundown on their activities and what percentage of their residents receive Medicare, Medicaid, and it was quite an interesting presentation. I think some of us that have been involved with that organization since its inception were quite impressed with how far it has come. And just a reminder, the resident that we have up on East King Road, was the first one in New York State. That was a groundbreaking escapade when we went through it a number of years ago. In addition to that, we had a visit, which was rather pleasant to see, from Bob DeLuca, Mental Health Commissioner. He gave us a rundown on the 2012 program update, some of the changes that are coming down the pike. There's a big one that is ongoing. I've mentioned this one before, the clinic restructuring. That's probably a 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 year project, and it's going to have some major impacts on mental health and the delivery of some of the services there. With regard to youth services, just one item. Some of the actions have already taken place under our consent agenda, but Amy was telling us of this Community Health Coalition presentation that is going to take place on September 29th. at the Holiday Inn, the impact of technology on adolescents and the implications for substance abuse. There's a concern, a major one, about the networking and the social networking that's going on with websites, video games, cyberbullying, sexual predators, and they're meeting with different agencies, after-school providers, the educators from the different school districts, and parents. This will be a presentation that's taking place on that Thursday, and there'll be a report coming out of that. One of the eye-openers that we did have, in addition to Patricia Carey telling us about the impacts due to the changes on social services and the numbers that continue to grow, we're getting whacked. Remember the program, the rapid rehousing that we had, where they brought in over $1 million, $1.5 million a year or so ago? They have another shot at some of that money, but it's been reduced to about $400,000. And she's applying for it. We'll see what happens. It was the rapid rehousing grant that took place, and we were very fortunate to get it. But the other eye-opener came from Lisa Holmes in the Office of the Aging. We're getting hit with a change in PERS because of an upgrade and a number change that has to take place for emergency services. We have about 500 operating machines that need to be changed because of the phone number. You'll be seeing, I believe, a contingency fund request coming to us very shortly regarding that. And she also told us of some of the changes. Some of you might be interested in knowing that the teen parenting program that we see a lot of is being hit severely by the state and its mandate relief. There are, Sue Dale Hall was telling us at a previous meeting about the impact of the state cutbacks in that whole area. It may be non-existent eventually. Seems like none of the news was really good at Health and Human Services this month. We're having another meeting on the 12th of October, the regular committee meeting, and we're going to schedule a brief meeting on the 4th. Just before this body meets on the 4th, we have a couple of items to deal with that Lisa needs to bring to us that can be rather rapidly done. The CHA, tomorrow, we've received two responses to the RFP, and we'll be meeting with the special committee that Joe set up tomorrow afternoon. It's 3 or 3:30, Joe. 3:30. It's either 3 or 3:30. At Rice, there's the special committee will be reviewing those proposals, and we'll decide where we go from there. And I believe the health committee has received their packets, because the recommendation from the special committee will go to the health committee and then eventually come here. We'll keep you posted. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions?
Oh, thank you. One other thanks, Kath. Sadly, I don't think many of us are going to be able to attend this event, but the mental health group, there's a dinner on the 27th from 5 to 7 at the Holiday Inn. And it's a very well-done dinner, recognizing individuals in that arena. And there'll be a number of awards being given. I was told this was not confidential, by the way, but Jim Johnston will be moving. He doesn't want to call it retirement. He will be moving into another phase of his life, is what he told me, and he'll be receiving an award that evening. But sadly, I think most of us are going to be at a budget meeting with Jim Dennis that night. So unless... I know, it's all your fault, Jim. We won't be able to attend this, but thought that you might want to pass the word around. Thanks, Kathy.
All right, thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Martha.
Sure. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yeah. We'll just meet on October 7th. I really do encourage you all to come to the Solid Waste Center facility opening. That's at 8:30 in the morning. Tours. And Jonathan, to answer your question, my understanding is we'll get to tour the whole thing, short 15-minute tours. That's at 8:30, 8:45, and then the committee will meet at 9:30. And anybody who wants more information can go to, I'm just looking up the address, recycletompkins.org, and there's a construction website. You can see pictures, a bunch of us, from the groundbreaking. And the committee will move into our meeting, but I'm talking to Barb Ekstrom about whether those who would like to stay past the 9:30 time might be able to do so and learn some more information, people from municipalities and elsewhere who might want more information. Thanks. And there's free breakfast, or light breakfast.
Okay. Thank you very much. Leslie?
There was nothing to do with solid waste. I was going to wait until other people had questions.
All right. Any questions?
All right, F&I.
Okay. Go ahead.
I please indulge me, but I forgot to say a huge big thanks. When Joe mentioned and someone mentioned about the folks who have been displaced and we're accommodating in our community, and Frank's report just reminded me, he said youth and so on, that we certainly owe a thanks, not because I work there, to a number of the children at GIAC and to many other people in the community who... Was yesterday Monday? I can't keep track anymore. went to Cayuga Ridge and had a reception for the folks who are now housed there who have been displaced. It's not easy to be evacuated from your home, don't know, and end up in a new place. So I do want to say a great big thank you to the community, to the kids, and to a number of our seniors as well in the community who thought that that would be a welcoming thing to do. It's how we treat each other, so kudos to them, and thanks again.
That sounds great. Sorry. Thank you, Leslie. Carol?
I just want to make clear that the location for the meeting on October 7th, the F&I meeting, is at the conference room at the Solid Waste Center. It's in a different building from the opening.
All right. All set. Minutes of the September 6th meeting. Can I get a motion? Frank moves, Leslie seconds. Any comments? All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed. 2 opposed, that they pass 13-2. Can I get a motion to go into executive session to talk about labor negotiations? Moved by Brian, seconded by Jim. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? All right. I do not expect us to take any action after the executive session. So we will take a 2-minute break to shut down the cameras. We are in executive session. Thank you.